Good afternoon. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 5, that is the first passage we will look at here this afternoon. James chapter 5. In the book of James, we see several instructions given concerning prayer. And especially there at the end of the book, in the last part of chapter 5, there are several things mentioned about prayer and its power when it is done in harmony with God's will. I want to notice something that is said there in James 5:16 as we begin our lesson here this afternoon. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So notice there in the first part of that verse, there is an emphasis on brethren who are struggling with some sin, confessing that to fellow brethren. And as we pray for one another, we can help one another to be spiritually healed. But I want to notice here this afternoon some things about that last sentence in that verse, "the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And you see that term there, "availeth much," that implies that prayer can be very powerful, it can be very profitable, very effective, but there are things that are needed in order for prayer to be profitable and powerful in the way that it can be. There's things needed for prayer to avail much. And we'll notice some of those things in our lesson here this afternoon. And what the power of prayer really begins with, what must be provided for it to be possible for us to have prayers that avail much, first and foremost, is God's faithfulness. God supplies the power behind prayer, and because of God's love that He has for us, this avenue of prayer is something that is available. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, there, Peter encourages Christians to be casting all your worries on Him because He cares for you. God, first of all, offers us the opportunity to cast our worries or our anxieties on Him. And not only does He offer us that opportunity, but He wants us to do that because He cares for us. We shouldn't view prayer as something where we are bugging God, you might say, with things that He doesn't care to hear about. He wants us to go to Him in prayer because He loves us and He cares for us, and He wants to help us through this avenue of prayer. And so we want to recognize, as we think about prayer that avails much, that first and foremost, for prayer to avail much, we need God's part. We need what He has done with His love and His concern for us, which offers us the opportunity to go to Him in prayer. Notice over in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, there it says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." God offers us the opportunity when we are struggling with something that is bothering us. He offers us the opportunity to cast that care on Him. And this passage here, when it says, "the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus," This implies that he's there to strengthen us and help us as we face difficulties in life, to help us endure through those things and still be faithful to him. And so the emphasis we want to recognize here with these two passages is on how God has done his part in offering us this privilege, this blessing of prayer. And he's really the one who supplies the power behind prayer. If it were not for God's faithfulness and God's love, then there would be no opportunity to have prayer that avails much. But God makes this possible first and foremost because of who he is and the care that he has for us. But God tells us in his word that in order for our prayers to have the effectiveness that they can have, there are things that are needed from us. And I want to focus on some of these things for the remainder of our lesson here this afternoon. We'll notice five things specifically that are required of us for our prayers to avail much. And one thing that is brought out in Scripture that is needed from us is for us to be living righteous lives. If you notice over in 1 Peter chapter 3, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 12, there the inspired apostle says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So notice in the first part of that verse, there's comfort provided similar to that in 1 Peter 5:7 and Philippians 4:6, that God's eyes are on us, his ears are open to our prayers, but there's a qualifier in there. It says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. We must be living righteous lives, and if we're not, the second part of the verse tells us the face of the Lord will be against us. And this is something that's really important to understand about prayer. There are many people, some who are religious, some aren't very religious at all. There are many people who sometimes reference prayer, might talk about praying for different things, and it's apparent in their lives that they're not giving their lives to God at all. And while it's good that they recognize the value of prayer, we can't think that if we live however we want to in our lives, that we can just go to God in prayer whenever we want, and he is going to give us what we desire. We need to be making sure we're doing our part of living for him and pleasing him if we expect him to be answering our prayers in a way that helps us and benefits us and allows our prayers to avail much. So one thing that's needed from us for our prayers to avail much is to live righteous lives. But there are also things that are needed in our prayers themselves in order for our prayers to have the power and the effectiveness that they can have. And one specific thing that is needed from us is for us to make sure that when we pray from the heart. Notice over in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 7, Jesus here is talking about prayer. And he says here in Matthew 6, 7, "In praying, don't use vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking." Now, in the context of this verse, Jesus, a few verses down, talks about those who are hypocrites, those who give off an appearance of serving God, but in their hearts they are not focused on him at all. And it appears that that's the emphasis here with these individuals in this verse, verse 7, when it says they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. But as you think about that term, their vain repetitions, vain repetitions in this context does not mean asking God for something multiple times. Doesn't mean we ask God for something two or three times and we feel like we're starting to be repetitious and we may be in danger of using vain repetitions. But the emphasis in that term vain repetitions is on praying without meaning, praying without sincerity, not focusing on the words we're praying, not praying from the heart. But if our prayers are going to avail much, it's important for us to make sure that we are praying from the heart. And so we should follow the example of the Apostle Paul that we have referenced over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. There in that verse, the Apostle Paul was speaking about some Jews who had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But notice what he says there in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10. It says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for Israel that they may be saved." Notice here in this verse that Paul's heart's desire and prayer to God are one and the same. And that's important for us to consider with our prayers. We should be praying our heart's desire. We shouldn't simply be speaking words without meaning what we're saying. If we do that, we'd be guilty of using vain repetitions as those individuals there in Matthew 6, 7. We want to make sure that we are truly praying with sincerity and praying from the heart for our prayers to avail much. But something else that is needed from us in order for our prayers to avail much is to make sure that we pray faithfully. And there's a couple different things we might take from the phrase pray faithfully. One thing that might imply is praying with faith. And this is something that we need to make sure we do. If you look over in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1, we noticed verse 5 this morning to make a different point, but we'll notice this again and look also at what's said in verses 6 and 7. James chapter 1, beginning here at verse 5. Says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For that man shouldn't think that he will receive anything from the Lord." So notice there as the Holy Spirit through James talks about praying for wisdom. He points out the need for us to pray with faith. And that's something that applies with anything we might pray for. We should pray, first of all, with the faith that God truly does hear us. And secondly, we should pray with the faith that God is going to answer that according to His wisdom. He really is going to help us through prayer if we are praying as we should. And so it's important for us to have faith when we pray, to really know and believe the God of this world is listening right now, and He really is considering what I'm saying, and He really is going to answer this prayer according to His wisdom. But we also should pray faithfully. There's different ways the term faithful can be used, and another way that we could use that to say we should pray faithfully is with the idea that we should be praying continuously. We should be praying consistently. We should be reliable, if you will, in our prayers. Our prayers shouldn't be something that we are inconsistent with in terms of frequency with which we go to God in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we have three words there in that verse that are important to consider. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And I've mentioned before, I don't believe that verse is saying that we should pray every minute of every hour of every day. That wouldn't be possible for us to do that and meet our basic needs and submit to God's other requirements for us. But the idea there is we need to pray continuously. We shouldn't have a prayer life that is characterized by a month where maybe for a week we pray frequently like we should, And then for the next 3 weeks, we don't hardly go to God in prayer at all. We go to Him when there's certain things we need, but then when there's not things we need urgently, we don't go to Him in prayer. Instead, we should be consistent. That doesn't mean there's not going to be days we pray more than other days. What I mean by that when I say we should pray consistent and continuously is that there's no lapse in our lives where for a period of time, God could look at our lives and say, well, you weren't very prayerful during that period of time. Maybe you were for this week of the month, but this week of the month, you hardly went to me in prayer at all. Day in and day out, we should be constantly making prayer a focal point of our lives. It's something we need to be making time for. And as we think about making time for prayer, there's probably no better example of making time for prayer than the example of Jesus. Jesus is someone, as He was here on this earth, who was as busy as probably any of us are. He had lots of things that He did day in and day out, but He constantly made time to go to God in prayer. And I want to notice one specific verse that references Jesus going to God in prayer. It's Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. In Luke 6 and verse 12, it says there, in these days He, speaking of Christ, went out to the mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God. So you think about Jesus here and what this says about Him. He was a busy man, and yet He continuously made time to go to God in prayer. And on at least one occasion, perhaps more, He continued all night in prayer to God. This doesn't mean that we have to spend an entire night praying to God, but we should have the same zeal and desire for going to God in prayer as Christ did. And we should be continuously making time for that in our lives. We may have more time one day than another, but there shouldn't be lapses in our lives where we look at a week gone by and say, I didn't make time for prayer that week like I should have. We need to be continuously throughout our lives, day in and day out, devoting ourselves to prayer. And that's part of praying faithfully, which is needed if our prayers are going to avail much. But something else that is needed for prayers to avail much is to make sure we are doing our part to strive to grow in ways we ask God to help us with, and to serve Him in ways we ask for help with. And what I mean by this could be exemplified with the example of praying for wisdom that we looked at both this morning and just a few minutes ago. We should not go to God in prayer and ask for His help in gaining wisdom and then just think that He's going to miraculously put that wisdom in our minds without us doing anything on our part. But as we pray to Him and ask Him for wisdom, we should couple that with continuous study of His Word, digging into His Word, trying to find out what His will is for us. And as we put that together with our prayers, the two together can help us to grow in wisdom as God would have us to. And so the idea is when we pray and ask for God's help with things, we need to be willing to do our part in order for what we're praying for to be most effective and profitable. Notice an example of this that's brought out in a couple of passages in Paul's letters. If you look first at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. There Paul tells the Colossian brethren, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving, praying together for us also, that God may open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may reveal it as I ought to speak. So notice here a specific thing that Paul asks for prayers for. He asks that they would pray that God would open to he and his companions a door for the word. Paul asked that doors would be opened for him to have opportunities to help lead people to the truth. And that's something that we can certainly pray for today. It would be a good thing to pray for today, to pray that God would open up doors for us to help lead people to the truth through our teaching, through our example, maybe in the workplace or in family or among friends or neighbors. Whatever it might be, God may open up doors for us to help lead people to the truth, and we certainly can pray and ask for God to do that, and that would be a good thing. But as you think about this passage here, notice what Paul also says over in 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9, he says there, "But I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So notice in Colossians 4, he asked the Colossian brethren if they would pray for him to have doors open. And now here in 1 Corinthians 16, he tells the Corinthian brethren, a door's been opened, and I'm responding to it. I'm making choices based upon this door that I see that has been opened. And I wanted to use this example to help us understand that when we pray to God and ask for His help with something, we need to be willing to do our part. If we pray to God and ask Him to help us do better in our study of His Word, we need to be willing to do our part, to put forth effort in that study. And we could think of a lot of other examples, but the point is, we need to be willing to do our part and not just expect God to do it all for us. He'll help us, but He's not going to force us to do what's right. We've got to be willing to do our part. If we're praying for open doors, we need to at the same time be willing to go through those doors as Paul was, as he said here in this verse. But one last point we want to make here about prayer that avails much is that we need to be trusting God's will as we go to Him in prayer. Whether we use this phrase or not, the underlying qualifier behind everything we say should be, "Lord, Your will be done in all things." We see this exemplified by Jesus when He was praying in the garden in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 42. There in Luke 22 and verse 42, Jesus prayed there, "Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done." So He says there, "If You are willing." And then He says, "Not my will, but Yours be done." That should be our desire as well when we go to God in prayer. There's a lot of things we may go to God in prayer with and ask for that, as far as we know, would be best for us in our efforts to serve God, but we really may not know for sure. And our underlying desire should be that God's will be done in all things. An example of this would be if a person is praying for a new job. And I think I've mentioned before, I was asked once if it was proper for a Christian to pray for a new job. And I said, I think it depends, because a person could be praying for a new job for very selfish reasons, wanting greater riches or glory for him or herself. But a person could also be praying for a new job because he or she believes it would be something that would help him or her to better please the Lord. And if that second motivation is present, then I don't think it would be inappropriate at all for someone to pray for that. But if someone's praying for something like that, the qualifier, if you will, to that should be the desire that God's will be done in all things. And that's something that should be our desire with any prayer that we pray to God, asking Him for something. You might think about, for another example, a young married couple praying to God, asking that He would help them have children. And they may believe that it's God's will that they would have children and that they could serve God better with children, and maybe it's God's will that they do have children, and maybe it's not, and they really just don't know and have to trust God's will in that. And so the emphasis here is that if we're going to have effective prayer, we need to make sure we're trusting God's will and desiring His will to be done in all things, and recognizing that unless we have something in Scripture to prove that something is His will, a lot of times we really just may not know if something is His will or not. Over in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, there verse 8 references that this is the Lord speaking. And in verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Just as much higher the heavens are than the earth, that's how much higher God's ways and thoughts are to ours. And we need to recognize that, and in particular recognize that when we pray, that something may seem to us like clearly this is what God would want for me, but the truth is, unless He specifically told us in His Word, we just don't know for sure if something is what God wants for us or not. And we can pray for something that we believe to the best of our knowledge is God's will, but still have this underlying desire that God's will be done in all things. And if God's will conflicts with our will, we should have this same mentality that Christ did. Lord, Your will be done. So as we think about the value of prayer and the power that prayer can have, it's something that should lead us to be devoted to prayer. And I want to read the words of a hymn as we tie all of this together. Song number 62 in our songbook. I want to read the words to this song. Song number 62, it's called "Did You Think to Pray?" And I'll read here the first three verses, or the three verses first, and then I'll read the chorus after reading the verses. Song 62, "Did You Think to Pray?" The first verse says, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ, our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today?" Verse 2 says, "When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way?" Verse 3 says, "When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, excuse me, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day?" And then the chorus there says, "Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray." And this song is one that we should take to heart as we think about the value of prayer and the importance of prayer day in and day out. We should be fully accepting this blessing that God offers. It's something that can be very, very powerful, but it's something that there's something needed on our part in order for it to have the power that God intends. He provides the power because of His faithfulness and His love and His sovereignty, but He requires us to be living righteous lives and to be praying from the heart, to be praying with faith, to be persistent and to be continuous in our prayers, to be doing our part, and to be trusting His will. And if we do this, we can know that our prayers will avail much. Just as He says here in this verse, our prayers will be very powerful, very profitable, very effective. And that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing that God offers us that we should choose to accept. And I hope this lesson has helped us to better appreciate the value of prayer and understand what's needed from us for prayers to have the power and effectiveness that they can have. There might be some here this afternoon who are not yet Christians. We've been focusing this lesson here on those who are Christians and what blessings are available to us as Christians. But if you're here and you're not yet a Christian, we want you to understand that for all of us to fully benefit from the blessings God offers, we need to be right with Him. And if you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to make the choice to become one before you leave here this afternoon. There's a lot of things that prayer does But one thing that it does not do is it does not make somebody a Christian. There's people in the religious world who teach that one can simply say what's called the sinner's prayer, and he or she will thus become a Christian. But God doesn't agree with that. He doesn't teach that in His Word. But what He does teach is that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you are willing to confess that belief, if you're willing to turn and repent of your sins and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, then to arise to walk in newness of life, then you can become a New Testament Christian before you leave here this afternoon, and we'd love to help you with that if you have that desire. For those of us who are Christians, prayer is something that has a different role in our lives. And for those of us who are Christians, if we are in some sin, we can go to God in prayer and ask for His forgiveness. And if we are repentant and we ask for His forgiveness, we know that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we have seen here this afternoon that that can have tremendous power and benefit. And we would be eager to help you in whatever way we can. And so if you are here and you are subject to the invitation, we'd encourage you to come forward as together we stand and as we sing.